Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started last week talking about you've already got it, so quit trying to get it. I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. This is actually a follow-up to what I was teaching about spirit, soul, and body. If you can understand that you are changed in a brand new person in your spirit, and if you have become aware of the spiritual realm and spiritual realities, then you can understand this teaching about you've already got it. I've already said a lot of important things. If you've missed any of this teaching, I encourage you to please get the materials that we're offering. Even if you've heard the teaching, you need to get the materials so that you can review it, because you aren't going to hear these things very often. And plus, it's a great way to share these truths with other people, especially this new study guide that I have. This is the first time we've made this study guide on You've Already Got It available. And so I encourage you to please get those materials. Now, yesterday I started with the prayer, it wasn't yesterday, it was last Friday. I started with the prayer out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. And I was making the point that Paul's prayer is different than the way most of us pray. Most of us pray and ask God to move and touch people and do this, and, oh God, pour out Your power, and, oh God, heal this person, and, oh God, set this person free. Paul didn't pray that way. Instead, he prayed, Lord, open up the eyes of their understanding and help them to see what they already have. Man, that's huge. This is what this whole series, I'm trying to get this point across, that you've already got it, that God has already placed His supernatural power on the inside of you. You don't need God to do something for you. He did it before you were ever born, before you ever had the need. God had already created the supply. And when you get born again, He places on the inside of you His Spirit. And your born-again spirit has everything in it. You've got everything that you need for the rest of your life, not only here on the earth, but in heaven. When we go to heaven, your spirit's not going to be increased. It's not going to be refurbished. It's not going to be cleaned up, given a new dose of the Holy Ghost. Your spirit is right now as perfect, as pure, as complete as it will be throughout eternity. The only thing that's going to change when we go to heaven is that we get a new body and a new soul that knows all things. And so there'll no longer be any conflict between our spirit, soul, and body. We'll be in perfect harmony, and we'll be able to manifest the glory of God perfectly. But right now in your spirit's as saved as it will ever be. And you've got everything in it that you'll ever have. And the rest of the Christian life here on this earth is just learning what you have and learning how to release it, not about how to get God to do something. And see, this is what Paul did. Paul was just praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I made mention on this briefly on my Friday's program. But most of us, you know, when we talk about heaven, we even have this song, When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day That's Going to Be. And we have songs about heaven, and we try and picture what heaven is going to be like. And it's going to be an awesome place. I'm not trying to diminish heaven at all. But this says that the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Whatever you can picture in heaven, the glory, the majesty of God in heaven, whatever you can picture, however vivid your imagination is, anything you can imagine in heaven is in you right now. The riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. It says in Romans chapter 8, it says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Notice it didn't say the glory that shall be revealed to us, but it's the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Boy, this is mind-bending if you can get a hold of this. But when we stand before the Lord, Some of you are going to be thinking, oh, that'll be great, man. Then what a day that will be. And then I'm going to have all of these things. And we look forward to getting all of this and being perfect in heaven. Again, that perfection will take place in your body and in your soul. But one of the things that's going to happen, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that then when we get this glorified body, we will know all things, even as also we are known. And one of the things that's going to happen in heaven is we're going to get a total revelation of the riches of the glory of His inheritance that's in the saints in this life. We are going to fully realize the power that was in us all along. And when we stand before the Lord, we're going to recognize, you mean I put up with sickness and disease? I took insulin shots my whole life. I dealt with rheumatoid arthritis. I had poor eyesight. I put up with headaches. I put up with backaches. I put up with all of this stuff. I put up with poverty. I put up with depression. I thought that I just had to go through. I thought this is the way it had to be. And the whole time, I had the riches of the glory of His inheritance on the inside of me. I had all of this power and I never partook of it. I walked through life as an old sinner saved by grace. That's not true. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace. And now I am the righteousness of God. And see, when we get this revelation, when we stand there and our soul is changed and we fully understand everything, I think that this is when the Scripture says that the Lord's going to wipe tears away from our eyes. It's not because we're going to just barely limp into heaven and we're going to just barely make it and we're just going to be crying because earth has been so terrible and when we get to heaven, He's going to wipe tears away from our eyes. No, I think it's when we stand before Him and we know all things, even as also we are known. I think that there's going to be a lot of Christians wailing and travailing and kicking themselves in the rear saying, why did I put up with this? I didn't know I could have done better. I didn't know I had all of this power. And man, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the Lord is going to have to dry our tears from our eyes when we realize how we live so far below our privileges. Well, that's a powerful statement. This glory is going to be revealed in us, not to us. You've already got it. You've already got the supernatural power of God. This is what He's praying, that the Lord would open up the eyes of your understanding and let you see the riches of the glory of this inheritance in the saints. It says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is already in us. The hope of His glory is in us. Man, this is powerful. If you could understand this, if you could ever get a glimpse, and this is why He's praying this prayer. You can put your name in here and ask God to give you a revelation of this. I've done it. And I believe that this is how God began to reveal some of these things to me. It's because I prayed this very prayer. If you say, well, it's kind of just right on the tip of my brain. In a way, I can kind of see it, but I don't have a real revelation of it. I just need this to sink down into my heart. How do I do that? Pray this prayer and just put your name in there. Say in verse 16, that I am not ceasing to give thanks, making mention of Andrew, or you put your name in there, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Andrew Womack the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of Andrew Womack's understanding might be open. And see, you put your name in there and pray this. And I believe God wants to reveal this to you more than you want it revealed. You get into agreement, pray, open up the door just a crack. And man, the power of God will come flooding in and God will start showing you the riches of His glory. And then it goes on to say in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. The word according to means to the proportion of or to the degree of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So now in verses 19 and 20, he's praying that God would open up our understanding and help us to see the exceeding greatness of His power. You know, if you look these words up in the Greek, it's actually just redundant. It's like saying... Super abundant. is what it is. Abundant is a good word, but superabundant is just, it's like saying abundance, abundant. It's just an overstatement of a fact. And this is what it's saying in the Greek, the exceeding greatness. There really aren't good words. It's just God has given us so much that He is praying that we would see the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. It's the same power that He used when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Man, that's power. That's power. You know, I go to a big church, and they have this Easter production, and I haven't been there in a number of years, so I'm not sure how they do it but the last time I went, they had this man in the crowd who was dressed in black, and he personified the devil. And every time, you know, that the scribes and the Pharisees were there saying, you know, why, by what authority do you do this? This person who personified the devil was always there whispering in their ear. And it really made a point about how that all of this persecution and these criticisms against Jesus were instigated by the devil. And then at His crucifixion, this man dressed up like the devil was the one that incited the mob to ask that Jesus be crucified. And then at His resurrection, this person who personified the devil was standing at the garden tomb, and they had this big stone over the tomb, and he was there pushing with all of his might against this. And, you know, the symbolism of it was that Satan's entire kingdom and his entire focus was on stopping Jesus from being raised from the dead. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, then our faith would have been vain. Nothing that Jesus died to produce would have worked. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so I believe that this is accurate, that Satan's entire force, every demon in the universe, was standing there at the garden tomb trying to stop the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the significance of this is that when God created the heavens and the earth, Colossians chapter 1 says it was through Jesus that everything was created. And yet there wasn't any opposition at creation. All of the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, everything in the entire universe is a tremendous display of God's power, but there was zero opposition. And so in a sense, it's actually a greater demonstration of God's power to raise Jesus from the dead, because at that time, Satan and the entire kingdom of the devil was against Jesus being raised from the dead. And yet, God raised Him from the dead. All of Satan's power couldn't stop it. In this play that I was telling about, they show this man who personifies the devil pushing on the tomb trying to keep Jesus from being raised from the dead. And then there's this huge explosion, and there's all of this smoke. And when the smoke clears, you see the guy who is, you know, the devil, laying on his back on the ground. The tomb stone is laying on top of him, and Jesus is standing there with his arms up like this in total triumph and victory. It's just it's an awesome picture of how Satan was defeated. And my point is that if you were to somehow or another put the power of God on a graph, you know, like one of these little VU meters that pegs over when you, you know, turn the power on. If somehow or another you could put the power of God on one of those meters, I think that creation might have been a tremendous display. The new creation is a tremendous display. But Jesus being raised from the dead would just peg the thing out. It's the greatest manifestation of God's power that the earth has ever known. It overcame all of the power of the enemy, and yet Jesus came out of hell with the keys of death and of hell dangling at His side. And this is saying that you would get your eyes open to the exceeding greatness of His power, which is towards us who believe, according to, in proportion, or to the degree of the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You don't have just a tiny bit of power. You don't have just a little bit of power that might get you, you know, healed of a headache, but here comes cancer, and cancer is just so big that I'm not sure I can handle that. And yet I can guarantee you that's how so many people think. But you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Not just a little bit of it, the whole power. You've got all of the power of God on the inside of you. You've already got it. And somebody said, I don't have that. Well, see, the reason you aren't seeing it manifest is because, first of all, you don't believe that you've even got it. You don't even think you have access to it. You think you have to fast and pray and beg and plead with God and get the prayer team and 1,000 people to agree to somehow or another put pressure on God, and then God moves. That's the reason that you aren't seeing this power of God, because you don't believe what these verses say. You need the eyes of your understanding open so that you can understand the power that you have. I had a man come to me one time and he wanted prayer for healing, and he had problems with his neck, down his back. He had problems in his hip. He had a sciatic nerve that went down his leg. He had pain in his feet. He had neuropathy. And he just listed all of these things, and I was sitting there listening to him just go through all of these pains. And he says, but I could probably live with the rest of it if I could just get the pain in my neck. That's the thing that really bothers me. Would you just pray and see if you could get the pain in my neck to leave? And I looked at this guy and I said, well, I understand what you say. I said, we can't ask God to heal all of these things all at one time. I said, the lights in heaven might dim. I'm not sure God's got enough power to pull all of this off. It might throw a breaker someplace. This guy looked at me and he says, boy, that was pretty stupid what I said, wasn't it? And I said, it's real stupid. I said, man, the power of God isn't limited. This same power that created the universe, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is already on the inside of you. And the only reason you aren't seeing this power manifest is because, first of all, you don't even know what you've got. How can you appropriate something if you don't believe that you've got it? Satan has somehow or another deceived us into thinking that, oh yeah, God's got all of this power, but it's out there. And you've got to do something to get it. And boy, that just puts so many obstacles between us and this victory that we're desiring. But when you go to understanding, like these verses are saying, that you've already got this exceeding great and precious promise, it's already on the inside of you. This power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is already in you. You go to thinking that way, and you know what? You will start seeing it manifest. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. The reason most of us are living a substandard life is because we see ourselves substandard. We don't see ourselves in Christ. We don't know that in the Spirit that we are right now the way that we will be forever in heaven, that our spirit is already changed. And because we don't see it on the inside, we don't see it on the outside. You first of all got to see this. You've got to understand that God has already given you all of these things. It's already a done deal. It says in verse 20, this power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. This doesn't mean just barely above. He can't just barely overcome the devil because he's just a little bit stronger. No, it says he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, this is not only true of Jesus in the heavens, but that same power that raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand of God, that same power is now on the inside of you. And you've got to see yourself far above whatever it is that's coming against you. And again, most people don't think this way. Most people think, well, I believe I can get over a headache and over a cold, and I believe that this backache, I can get over that. But if the doctor says cancer, if the doctor says AIDS, if the doctor says incurable, there's a lot of people that just don't believe that the power of God on the inside of us is that big. But I tell you what, God's power is far above everything that can be named. If you can put a name on it, if you can call it cancer, if you can call it diabetes, if you can call it ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, if you can put a name to it, Jesus is far above every name that has been named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There is nothing. The power of God on the inside of you is exceedingly great above anything that's coming against you. I couldn't tell you how many people come up to me. I mean, it happens in every meeting I hold. And they come up and they're just on the verge of tears. And they're basically trying to let me see how pitiful they are. And there's nothing that can be done. The doctor says it's over, and The banker says, my car is going to be repossessed. My house is going to be repossessed. My wife, my husband says that they're leaving me. And they just present the situation as pitiful as they possibly can. And then they say, and there's just nothing I can do. Would you please pray for me? Would you please agree with me that God will set this situation, turn it around, change it? And I tell you, I just hate that attitude. I hate it. I understand it. I've been there. I don't dislike those people, but I hate this attitude. It shows that this person isn't meditating on these verses. They don't believe that they have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him far above all principality and power. They think that maybe they have a little bit of power, but this situation is bigger than them. And they portray how pitiful and how desperate their situation is. Man, you aren't seated in heavenly places with Christ, Colossians 3:1, when you are thinking that way. You need to start from victory. Instead of saying, I'm in defeat, but I'm believing that I can get to the victory, you need to find out who you are. You need to recognize you've already got it. You're already blessed. You need to sit in that place and not get out of this place of victory and say, I've got the same power on the inside of me that raised Christ from the dead. I'm not going to just leave it in my spirit, but I'm starting from this place. It is mine. I am a world overcomer, and I am going to resist you, devil. The word resist, James 4:7, means to fight against, actively fight against. I'm going to resist the devil, and he will flee from me. And yet I have people all the time that say, well, I have resisted the devil, and it didn't work. It does work. Well, no, I did it, and it didn't work. Well, then are you saying that the Word of God's wrong? I have to choose to either believe the Word of God or believe you. I'm not against you, but I'm telling you that the Word of God is true. I'm going to believe it. And you may have resisted more than you did before. Maybe you're doing it better than you've done before, but you haven't fought with all of your heart. When you resist the devil in the name of the Lord, he will flee from you, and there are no exceptions to it. And for those of you that are just feeling pitiful and you're embracing your defeat and you are in a place of defeat and begging God to bring you up, what you need to do is quit that attitude. Get out of that mindset and recognize that you've already got it. That God, if you are born again, has already placed on the inside of you the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's more than enough for your hangnail, for your cancer, for your blindness, for your deafness. Whatever you've got is no problem to God. You need to start sitting in heavenly places, stand in who you are in Christ, and start taking your authority and believing that you've already got it. And notice also it says that he put all things under his feet. So if they're under his feet, that means if you consider yourself to be the little toe in the body of Christ, one of the least important parts, the part that we hide and it isn't real visible, if you consider yourself to be a corn on the little toe, Satan is still under your feet. You're still above him. If you want to write the devil a note, write it on the bottom of your shoe. Amen. You get this attitude and start understanding you've already got it, and it'll change things in your life. Today is my last day to deal with the first teaching in this series entitled, You've Already Got It. The first teaching is entitled, We're Already Blessed. Today will be my last day to make that as a special free offer. We will continue to offer the album and the new study guide, the book, but this single teaching entitled, We're Already Blessed, today's our last day. So listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more.
Let me remind you that today will be our last day to offer the first teaching in this series on You've Already Got It. Now, this is talking about the CD or the DVD as seen on TV. We offer these teachings one at a time for anyone who cannot or would not send in any offering whatsoever. We will give you these teachings one at a time if you will simply request it. My partners have enabled me to do that. Now, we also have a book, and then we have this study guide. This is a brand new study guide, and we are asking for a donation on these. We don't put an exact amount. We have a suggested donation. But if you cannot send anything, you can get this teaching one at a time. Please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, We're Already Blessed, free of charge. A condensed version of You've Already Got It is also included in Andrew's latest book titled, Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th. In Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. And in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When you get to where you know this better than you know the news broadcast and better than you know the sports score and who's ahead in this and that and all of these kind of things, when you get to where the Word of God dominates your life, it will give you the ability to reject all of this unbelief and negativism of the world. And it'll build you up and it'll give you faith.
Join Andrew Womack for the New England Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through 27th. Log on to awmi.net for more information.